Speaker, you said in there that you found yourself surrounded by consultants who didn't share your vision for the campaign. As president, surrounding yourself with people who share your vision is one of your most important jobs, arguably. I mean, how did you find yourself with a whole bunch of people working for you who did not share your vision? And you know, how as president would you not avoid, how would you avoid doing that again?
Well, as you can imagine, it was a very painful experience and taught me a lesson that surprises me a little bit, but which I will apply to personnel as a president. My vision of where we're going and the lessons I think I've learned from history is really very different from most Republican consultants. And I really didn't realize how profoundly different. I go back to, I'll just tell you one quick war story. That in 1980, I'd been very fortunate. I'd been allowed to work with the Republican National Committee Chairman Bill Brock. And we had actually studied Margaret Thatcher's campaign when she won in May of 1979, and we were applying it to 1980. And we came up with the idea of having a Capital Steps event. The first one was not the Contract with America. The first one was September of 1980. And we were going to have all the House and Senate candidates come in, and we were going to have Reagan and Bush stand there with them, and they were going to be for five things. And the goal was to give stature to our local candidates so that they could go. I had a good friend, Mac Mattingly, who was running a very underdog campaign in Georgia against a very senior Democrat. And we thought this would give him a boost. You know, you get several days of coverage. I'm going to Washington to be with Reagan. Good coverage in Washington. I'm here with Reagan. Good coverage when he comes back home. 2 weeks of when I was with Reagan. And this is a lesson I really had to bring back up when I went through this recent mess. About 2 weeks before the event, we get a call from some mid-level Reagan's campaign staffers who say, we don't want to adopt any policies. We don't want these guys signing anything. We just want them to be there so the president, the candidate will come in, he'll make a speech, and we don't know right now what the speech will be. So I called Congressman Guy Vanderjack, who was the head of the campaign committee who had sponsored all this, and I said, this is absurd. I mean, you can't ask every senatorial candidate and every House candidate to come here to be an audience for a presidential campaign speech. And he said, well, you're in charge. What do you want to do? I said, I want to cancel. So I had my staff call over and say to the Reagan campaign, the event's off. We're not doing it. The next day, I got the only call I got in the whole campaign from Bill Casey, who was the campaign manager and later became head of the CIA, a brilliant lawyer. I'll never forget it. He had this old gravelly voice. He said, you can tell how long ago this was because he said, young man. He said, I understand you want my attention. And I said, look, the five things we're going to sign are from Reagan's speeches. They're the campaign themes. This is a no-brainer. And I walked him through my reasoning. He said, well, I believe in about 3 hours, you will be very happy. So 3 hours later, the same two guys who had told us we couldn't do it came in and said, you know, these great five ideas that we're really thrilled about. Now, we won the U.S. Senate that year when no one thought we could. The six winning candidates combined had a majority of 75,000. Mac Mattingly came from behind at 7 o'clock in the morning to win on the last precincts in Cobb County. No consultant would have designed that event. In 1994, when we designed the Contract with America, there wasn't a single consultant who would, Joe Gaylord, who was my close friend, understood that, and we'd worked together for 15 years by then. But there's no outside consultant who thought the contract made any sense. And yet we got 9 million additional votes. And what I undervalued was that what I'm trying to do, and this is very much like the Tea Parties, what I'm trying to do is so bold and so different and built around the Tea Party movement, built around grassroots conservatives, built around intellectuals like Jeff Bell, in a way that doesn't fit normal Washington politics. And I think I've thought about this a lot in the last couple of weeks, that in retrospect, we should have been very cautious about who we hired, and we should have made sure that there was total compatibility of vision and strategies before anybody came in. And it's taught me about how truly different this campaign will be from anything that you've ever seen.
But you considered running last time around. So you had 4 years, presumably, to think about the kind of campaign you wanted to run. Why out of the gate, then, didn't you have that firmly in place?
because I thought it was much easier to translate what I'm doing, what I did here today, in a way that would be effective. And it turned out that, I mean, think about it. These are very smart people who've made a very good living doing something they're good at. And they were eager to do what they're good at. What they're good at didn't happen to be where I think America has to go. And it was a real revelation to me. This is going to be true across the board. I mean, this means that whether you're trying to reform the Defense Department, or you're trying to reform unemployment compensation, or you're trying to reform the Federal Reserve, it's going to be much more challenging to find people who both agree with the goal and have the technical knowledge and experience to do it, and have the willpower to get it done, because obviously there's going to be, as there was in Madison, Wisconsin with Scott Walker, there's going to be enormous opposition to the level of change I'm suggesting.